It is 1 p.m. I'm calling this meeting to order. You all please be seated. I would like to remind all of you that if you address the Senate, to please clearly state your name and the campus that you represent so that your comments may be properly recorded in the minutes. The first item on this afternoon's agenda is the approval of the minutes of the meeting of February 12th, which was the Columbia meeting. The minutes have been distributed and posted on the website. Is there a motion that we approve those minutes as distributed? There's a motion. Is there a second? Is there any discussion, any corrections, any additions or deletions? Hearing none, I'm going to call for a vote. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Minutes are approved. Next, we have the reports of our standing committees. We'll start with the Rights and Responsibilities Committee. Do you have a report from that committee?
So I'm Jason Holt from USC Lancaster. Really, the committee spent a good part of its session discussing the mid-year hire timeline. In the course of that discussion, several additional questions popped up that we have been considering. I think we found a good solution, but as of yet, there is no motion. We hope that at the first session next year, we'll be able to present some kind of motion there. We also discussed another issue, a question which was prompted by the Lancaster Faculty Organization concerning the role of advising. Currently, as it's listed in the faculty manual, advising is listed as a teaching responsibility. Yet many of our faculty have indicated that when it comes time for yearly reviews, they list it in almost 100% of the cases as service. Let me pull up this section of the faculty manual. Well, maybe I won't. How do you get the PC? No, that's not it. I'm looking. I've hooked my my tablet up. Does anybody know a way to? I'm trying auxiliary. I don't see. Okay. Well, until then, I can pull it up on my. I just need to.
So
us. All right, I can just pull it up this way. Okay, so I have it up here. I think I've got it, Blake. Thank you. Under teaching responsibility here, item number 6 says instructional staff members who are responsible for academic advising are to be available to students at specified hours during registration and throughout the academic year. Thus, you know, it seems to be that the faculty manual, as it currently exists, defines advising as a teaching responsibility. Given that campuses currently define their the roles of advising in different ways, as I've already indicated, the USC Lancaster, you know, the faculty truly believe that it's more of a service objective. The committee is considering the possibility of changing this, either relocating it as a service, as an example of a service category, or to strike it altogether. Before we introduce a motion to do this, we would like to ask if the senators could go back to their faculty, define the role of advising according to their campus, and then make recommendations to our committee so that we can move forward with something that is amenable to everyone. Okay. And that is our report. Any questions?
Tom Bragg,
who are you specifically asking to do that?
The senators.
All senators?
Yes. Other questions?
This year's senators or next year's senators?
All senators. Any others? That is our report. Thank you.
Thank you, Professor Holt, for that report. The next report would come from the Welfare Committee, Professor Raymond McManus. I got it right this time. Is he still here? Are you going to do it for him?
Hey. Mayor Affili, Union Campus. So Ray left, but he left me also what he was supposed to say. So Palmetto College Campus Faculty Welfare Committee met. It was a very productive year. The TNP workshop was, by all accounts, successful. The survey report has been completed and circulated to faculty and administration. You probably received that during the week, I think, or last week. He said, if you have any questions, send them to Ray. As you know, he likes to talk. And later today, the winners of the Duffy and Plyler Award winners will be announced. I think Chris Nesmith will do that. And we also elected our new chair, me.
Do we have a report from the Systems Affairs Committee? Gotcha.
The System Affairs Committee elected chair, yours truly, and we approved a survey that will be sent out shortly. Please try and complete the survey before the end of the semester. This is the survey on minus grading proposal. And the third item on our agenda was the designator for the Palmetto College courses. Last round, February, we suggested PCOL, but Dr. Nesmith reported back that this was already in use for pharmacology. So under our new business, a motion is coming up from System Affairs suggesting another designation. And we could go on and on.
Thank you, Professor Gross-Hoy. Next report comes from the Executive Committee. I will give that report briefly. The Executive Committee met in Columbia on March the 25th. In addition to hearing the various reports from the various campuses, the Executive Committee also discussed the role of advising as it pertains to the faculty manual. No decisions were made at that particular point in time. That discussion sort of parallels the discussion from the Rights and Responsibilities Committee that we just heard. There also was discussion of the nominations for the Executive Committee for next year, the status update on the slate, and so forth. And we finally, we discussed the date and the agenda for the Executive Committee's summer retreat. Is there a report from the Palmetto College campus's faculty manual liaison officer, Andy Yingst?
After the last meeting, the 2016 edition of the faculty manual was submitted to the chancellor for review. It's left the chancellor's office. All requested changes have been approved, and right now, legal and the provost's office have it on their desks. They're reviewing it now. It looks like it'll be at the Board of Trustees in time.
Thank you, Professor Yingst. Is anybody here to give a report from the Committee on Libraries?
Okay, Rebecca Freeman, USC Lancaster. The Committee on Libraries met with Dean of Libraries Tom McNally and the Associate Dean of Libraries Becky Geddes 2 weeks ago. And during this, we toured their new graduate study area, as well as they have a new classroom in the library as part of their efforts to reimagine their space. Dean McNally also went over the budget that he presented last week. And in it, he's discussing librarian salaries as well as their continued resource funding. He is also presenting to the provost an idea of creating an additional box to the annex with the idea that this box, and basically the box is storage for the books, and we would open this to all libraries in South Carolina as a place for storing materials. And this would coincide with Pascal's work towards a statewide system. He is also continuing to raise needed funds for the renovations of the South Carolina. And then lastly, we discussed a survey that was sent out to the Columbia faculty, basically for the libraries to determine whether or not they're serving the faculty as they need to. So, in my report.
Thank you, Professor Freeman. Is there a report from the Committee on Curricula and Courses? You, Professor Castleberry.
Thank you. Thank you very much. The Courses and Curriculum Committee has met once since my last report to you and will meet again this coming Monday. I want to emphasize that the procedures used by the committee have been changing. We now exclusively handle all proposals electronically. What this means is that in the past I've been able to get an electronic agenda and share that among the campuses. I can't do that anymore. However, it is my understanding that all of you have access to the proposals that are going for the committee. In fact, any of the committee on the provost webpage, so that you can peruse those on your own time and make up your own mind about some of this stuff. Of course, what the committee does is make recommendations to the Faculty Senate to approve various proposals that have come through. One of the proposals that has come through that we did pass on to the Senate was for the Palm 495 course and the revision of the BOL and BLS curriculum. So that should be before the Senate if it hasn't already gone to that. I'm sure there's more great and weighty comments to make, but that should suffice. So have a good one.
Thank you, Professor Castleberry. Committee on Welfare, on Faculty Welfare, do you have a report? Professor Jones?
Shelly Jones is not here, so I'm going to read out what she has. Columbia Faculty Welfare met on February 15th and March 21st. The Columbia Faculty Welfare Committee continues to focus on broader issues of communication that affect faculty across disciplines, units, and campuses. In its February meeting, the Welfare Committee considered the changes in prescription authorization protocol discussed at Columbia Faculty Senate, where faculty asked for a minimum of 6 months' notice for any plan changes versus the 6 to 8 weeks given to assure no interruption in prescription services. The Welfare Committee will reiterate this concern in a memo to Provost Gable, along with concerns regarding changes to Columbia campus parking discussed with Derek Huggins, the Vice President for Facilities and Transportation, at the March meeting. The committee is also investigating concerns over the faculty staff dependent scholarship funds forms statements of stringent eligibility requirements to be determined by the Office of Admissions and unclear measures for merit in awarding the scholarship. Further, the Welfare Committee is preparing a proposal to be reviewed by the Provost Advisory Committee on Women's Issues for a fund for child care reimbursement for conference attendance to allow faculty on the tenure track to attend national conferences annually. In efforts to encourage collegiality, the Welfare Committee is piloting monthly faculty lunches at Preston's on the Columbia campus and considering ways to reinstate a social club with events open to faculty in all disciplines, units, and campuses. Thank you.
Thank you for that report. Next is the report from the Board of Trustees Liaison Committee. The Board of Trustees, I believe, met in Beaufort. I was not able to go to that meeting because of a conflict. I have not heard from Dr. Elkins about it either. I do know that one of the things that came out of that will impact all of us is that they have released their long-term strategic plan, and I believe that plan is currently in the hands of the various unit heads. Palmetto College Campus's Research and Productive Scholarship Committee, do you have a report?
So the main business for the year for us had been the establishment of the website for Research and Productive Scholarship, which is up, and there are a good number of people that have done their faculty pages, and we need more. So any and all of you, if you could just send an email to Bob Dyer, he'll send you the template. It's very easy, and you can decide how much information you want to put out there, but it's really about creating a core base of people in different disciplines who have created their faculty pages and are part of those SS feeds so that we can begin to figure out how to use it as a networking tool for communication. So if you just send Bob Dyer an email, he'll send you a link into your newly created page with a template, and you can just upload documents or you can do different design things. We looked at it before, and some people have been very creative with graphics and such. Anyone who is on, or if you know someone who has been newly elected to the Research and Productive Scholarship Committee, if you could send me those names, or if those people could send me an email, the people for the upcoming year, because the next year will be the first year that we award the Denise Arshaw Award for Excellence in Scholarship. And so the Research and Productive Scholarship Committee will do the intake for the submission packets for that in the fall, and they will make the initial decisions and send names up to the welfare committee, who will make the final decisions for it. So in conjunction with the welfare committee, we've come up with a process for that. I'll be distributing that to the committee members on Research and Productive Scholarship. It's also going to be on the Research and Productive Scholarship website. So when you go to the main page, you'll see a document link there. You can click on it, and you'll see the award guidelines and processes for that. Nominations for it will be November 1st, and then November 15th, the nominees would need to have their packets in. Bob Dyer is creating a separate email account. He should have it done next week solely for this. And so the chair will be in charge of managing that account and then distributing the packet information to the members of the committee. They'll come to their initial decisions, and then a select group of those will be moved up to welfare for the final decisions. So this is really exciting. So next year we'll have that as a third award. And again, this will be distributed to the committee members to distribute to their campus faculty, but it's also going to be available at the beginning of next week on the website if you want to go there. And while in the process of updating your faculty page that you've set up, you can check out the different the guidelines and the process for that. But 11-1, the campuses will put up the names, and then by 11-15, the nominees would have their packets in if you want to work on things during the summer. And I think that's it. Actually, if you have any ideas, as I said before, for expanding or maintaining the website, please talk to your committee member. Thank you.
Thank you, Professor Jones. Palmetto College Campus's Academic Advisory Council, Professor Nesbitt.
The committee has not met since the last set of meetings, and we have no report.
No report. Other committees. Committees, the Conflict of Interest Committee, Professor Bohanek.
The Conflict of Interest Committee finally met, and we had a lot of things we went over. We did an overview of the USC Conflict of Interest policy for our new faculty, and we did a review of current disclosure process and recommended modifications from the committee managing conflicts of interest. And we did have three disclosures we had to review because Nick Lawrence was talking the whole time when people were doing their thing. I was just going to give a short report, but I've got three pages I could read to you if you would like. So Nick and I are friends. So. Or we were. We were at one time. But if you have, I've submitted an electronic copy and I have a paper copy. If you have any questions or anything, if you have an NIH grant or an NSF grant, those are the people that get involved in this. Otherwise, you probably would never know anything about what we do. But we're going to be much more active in reviewing. We are pretty active now, but we're going to be much more active in it. So I don't know if there are any questions, or you can just wait and read the full report. Gee, I wanted to keep you in here another hour, but thank you.
Thank you, Professor Bohanek. Provost Advisory Committee, Sarah Miller, do you have a report?
No report.
No report, so noted. I'm not aware of any unfinished business. Is anybody aware of any unfinished business that we need to talk about today? Hearing none, we will move on to new business. I understand there's a motion coming from Systems Affairs. Professor Cajun.
Oh, no. Did it go away? Oh. Is it? It was on your...
It was under the documents.
Under documents folder?
They have it.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
So there's a motion from System Affairs to move to request the Registrar's Office to reserve PCAM as the designator for our Palmetto College courses. The committee has explicitly asked me to mention that Paco was the second runner-up, Moon was the third, and there was also a mention of Pizzazz.
Does not require a second. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, we'll go to the vote. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? No. The motion passes. The next item on the agenda under new business will be the nominations for officers of the 2016-17 academic year. I'm going to ask Professors Tom Bragg, and Chris Bundy to come forward and present the slate.
The nominating committee would like to present these nominations for Vice Chair Ernest Jenkins from Lancaster, for Secretary, the great unloved position, Brian Love from Salkehatchee, and we have two nominees for the at-large position, Chris Sixtaline, Reinhardt from Union and Matt Rashad from Extended. I need to open the floor for nominations. Are there any nominations from the floor for any of these three positions? For Vice Chair? Nominations for Secretary? Nominations for Member at Large? Okay, hearing none. The nominations are now closed, so the Vice Chair and the Secretary position will take as written. And we're going to need to do a ballot vote for the at-large position. So Dr. Bundrick's going to distribute our teeny-weeny little ballots here. And do you have a word?
Yeah, let me add one thing. I know that not everyone in the room is a voting member, so please help me out by indicating as I come around if you are a voting member, and I'll give you a ballot.
Thank you, Chris. And please write the name of the person that you would like to vote for, either Chris Sixta Reinhardt or Matt Rashad. These will be taken up, and then I will submit a report to announce who has been elected to the position. So again, please write the name of the at-large member that you're voting for, either Chris Sixta Reinhardt or Matt Rashad, and return that to Dr. Bundrick. Thank you.
While we are distributing these ballots and taking them back up again, I would like to take an opportunity this moment to thank the executive committee that helped me this year. Tom, Julie, Melody, Chris, and Andy, y'all have been a fantastic team. We talked a little bit this morning to each other, and you know, there have been times that we disagreed on things, which is good. We're supposed to do that. At no time was there anything other than just cooperative disagreement. If you've never served on that committee, there's a lot of stuff that goes on behind the scenes that you know don't necessarily show up here. A lot of trips we make, meetings we go to, discussions we have. Sometimes we get frustrated that things don't move faster than we hope they move. But we have done a great job this year. We've made some significant progress, and I just want to sincerely thank that leadership team. They were fantastic, and I hope you will support your team next year.
Everyone voted.
Did anyone not get a ballot that should have gotten one or did not have an opportunity to hand it in? And Chris, it's the understanding that we will announce the winner by email within the next 2-3 days. Is that correct?
Correct.
Is there any other new business? If not, we have some awards to present. I'm going to ask Dr. Nesbitt to come forward, along with Jean, to hand out some awards. Some very important ones.
Thank you, Hitty. Since Dr. Evans is not with us today, I'm really honored to be able to hand out these awards and make these announcements. This is the fun part of the meeting. I'd like to thank the Welfare Committee and Ray McManus as its chair for the work that went into selecting both of these award winners this year and, of course, their work last year. Some of you were probably on the committee then as well in creating the Chris Plyler Award and the criteria and the process for giving that award. It's a lot of work that goes into that as well. Ray has also made this very easy for me because he provided me with some information that I'd like to share with you as I make these announcements. And Ray, of course, since he's not here, I think you know, he'd like me to thank the committee members on his behalf as well, and that he considered it a privilege to review the many talented faculties files that were nominated for both the Duffy Award and the John J. Duffy Award for Excellence in Teaching and the Chris Plyler Excellence in Service Award for this year. He points out that there were many fine nominees for these awards, and there were six for the Duffy Award, and that's the award that we will present at this time. Ray says he'd like to thank all of those who were nominated by their colleagues for the John J. Duffy Award, and we appreciate your willingness to see your colleagues recognized for their excellence in teaching and service. I think it's also important to point out who the nominees were and who the finalists were for the Duffy Award, because all of these deserve to be recognized. The finalists were Jill Castiglia from USC Lancaster, Courtney Brooks Catledge from USC Lancaster, Daniel A. Kiernan from USC Sumter, and Kajal Goshroy from USC Sumter, and Lisa Hammond from USC Lancaster. Can we give all of those finalists a round of applause? Now, Ray notes that this year's winner for the John J. Duffy Award goes to a faculty member who exemplifies excellence in and out of the classroom. This year's winner demonstrated innovative approaches for classroom delivery, student engagement and professional growth by providing peer education, student engagement, critical thinking, and hands-on active learning. This year's winner demonstrated passion for her discipline and compassion for her students. The committee was especially impressed with the mentoring and community engagement this year's winner was able to maintain on top of demonstrating teaching excellence whether working with school districts or community entities. I'm happy to announce that this year's winner of the John J. Duffy Excellence in Teaching Award goes to Dr. Kajal Goshwa of USC Sumter. If any of you were at the Senate meeting last April at USC Union, you saw Dr. Plyler there. He was invited under the ruse of being there to present the Duffy Award, which he did, and was happy to do that. But what he didn't realize was that he was going to be surprised to learn that the Chris Plyler Service Award had been created and would be offered, would be awarded the following year. And if you happened to be there in Union last year, you saw that that was very moving for Dr. Plyler, and he appreciated that very much. He was invited today to be here, but he's traveling and is out of the state at the moment, but he did want to send his appreciation again for being honored in this way by this award. And also that he would love to take the winner out for lunch sometime in the near future. And hopefully he'll be able to join us perhaps next year. So there were 10 finalists for the Plyler Award. And Dr. McManus states that he'd like to recognize their accomplishments as well. The 10 finalists were Jolie Fontenot of USC Union, Lisa Hammond, USC Lancaster, Mary Yelm from Extended University, Jean-Luc Grosso from USC Sumter, Brian Lai from USC Salkehatchee, Melody Lynn from Extended University, Sarah Miller from USC Salkehatchee, Nicholas Lawrence from USC Lancaster, Betty O.B. Johnson from USC Lancaster, and Randy Lowell from USC Union. Again, can we congratulate these 10 finalists? Well, this year's winner of the Chris Plyler Excellence in Service Award goes to a faculty member who personifies excellence in service. The work that this year's winner has accomplished with the campus, university, community, and the profession is a credit to her field of study and serves as an awesome example of how one can truly connect students and members of the community to a broader educational system. She's one that instills value and concern for leadership, mentorship, and civic engagement. This year's winner will not be a shock to some, but it is shocking to consider how much work this year's winner has actually done in the last 3 years on top of normal teaching duties. So it is our pleasure and my pleasure to award the first ever Chris Plyler Excellence in Service Award to Dr. Sarah Miller of USC Salkehatchee. Congratulations to both of you. Again, it was such an honor for me to be able to present those awards to two very deserving people. And congratulations again to all of the finalists for the excellent work that they do as well. Finally, as we get ready to conclude, again, it's my privilege, in the absence of Dr. Elkins, to be able to give one final note of recognition. It's not an award, but it is, in fact, simply a recognition for a lot of hard work, a lot of dedication, a lot of time and effort spent on all of our behalf. And I'm very happy to be able to represent all of us in Palmetto College to thank our outgoing chair, Dr. Henny Van Bulk, for an excellent job this year serving as chair of our Faculty Senate. Henny.
I don't want to give speeches, but I do want to say one thing before I leave. Being a senator or being a member of the executive committee or any of the other committees is not a job that is going to bring you a lot of money. It may not give you any course release, but it is probably one of the most important things you will do as a member of this faculty. And I urge you to take these jobs seriously. I urge you to encourage other members on your campuses to be involved in this group. The reward comes from you knowing that you helped shape this very important institution. I have thoroughly enjoyed everything we did. There were times I was frustrated, and you know, but it is the most rewarding thing you will do. Nobody should be arm-twisted into having to take a job like this, but I think in your professional life, you help shape your own future, and you help shape the future of your colleagues. And that should be a big reward for every one of you. So please encourage members on your campuses to take an active role in the Senate and take a leadership role in that as well. Then I have one more important thing to do, which is a very important thing. I'm going to ask Tom Bragg to come forward. I don't have a plaque to give you, Tom, but I have this thing. And I have wondered all year long what I'm supposed to do with that thing. And it finally dawns on me the reason why we have it so I can give it to you at the end of the day. Congratulations.
Thank you. Do I have a motion to adjourn? Thank you. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Moved and seconded. We are adjourned. Thank you.